Welcome, welcome, welcome to the SubHub podcast. I'm MK Sullivan.
And I'm Danny Moreno. And today we are going to have a preview of the Golden Trail first World Series race. Yes, it is already beginning in April. This is going to be a fun year, so buckle in. But this first race is Kobe Trail, so we're going to do an in-depth preview of it. And then MK is going to help finish it off with a preview for Canyon's 50K and 25K if we can find some entrants for that race.
Yeah, no promises, because I will be recording this at a later time. So yeah, hopefully we can get the 25K as well.
And before we get into our in-depth preview of the Kobe Trail race that is happening this weekend, we actually had a chance to chat with Francesco Puppi while we were doing his interview to kind of just listen in on some of his thoughts of the race, since he is such a frequent Golden Trail World Series racer.
Yeah, so enjoy our little chat with Francesco, and then we'll dive into the rest of the race. Since we have the Golden Trail World Series opening up their first two races, we just wanted to ask you a couple questions about the races and the competition and get your point of view.
Sure.
Yeah. So first up is Kobe Japan, and then second off, they have Four Sisters China. Those are the two races. What do you think about including two Asian races at the beginning of the season? Because this is earlier than the Golden Trail has ever started.
Yeah, so I think one of the goals of the Golden Trail World Series has always been to truly be international and expand on pretty much every continent. So it makes sense that they're landing in Asia for the first time, and also expanding their calendar from 6 to 8 races within a season. It'll definitely be interesting to see how the athletes will do at those two races, because as you mentioned, they're pretty early in the season, and a lot of athletes are coming from their schema season, or like from a winter of mostly like cross country and road running. So for a lot of them, it will be like their first real trail race of the year. And I feel like when it's like that, like everyone is kind of like, maybe not in their best shape. Like some athletes may even be in their best shape, but you're like always trying to be, always trying to see what the others are doing, and like not really knowing, exactly how fit you are. So I think those races will be very unpredictable. Also, given that I think the race in China is like super high in altitude. And both of those races will be on a pretty different terrain that what most people are used to. I also hope that some good Asian athletes will show up, because there is definitely an untapped potential in trail running in Asia, China, Japan, and all that area that we don't really know much about. But I think if you do like some research, you can find that there is a pretty big trail running scene over in China and Japan. We don't know many of these athletes, except from a few names that tend to race like the major international races or European and American circuits. So it'll be interesting how those athletes will do compared to the names that we usually see in the Golden Trail series.
Yeah, and like we've mentioned before a couple of times on the pod, Golden Trail will help you financially get to the next races if you finish in the top 10. So it would be so cool to see some like local crushers just show up, kind of upset some people, and then get to continue in the series. Like, you know, maybe go to Mont Blanc Marathon, maybe go to Sierra Zinal. Like, that would be so cool.
Yeah, totally. Maybe someone, you know, from Nepal, who is like living at 5,000 meters, then like crushes it at the race in Tibet in China. And then, yeah, we'll see them in the European or American races. That would be really cool.
Yeah. And so Danny and I feel like we did this hot take like at the end of December when we were doing our wrap up, but we think especially on the women's side, like there is not going to be a repeat winner all year in this series. And this, you know, these first two races just kind of show that depth. We have Madalena Floria, Sophia Lockley, Grayson Murphy, Maude Mathis. Miao Yao is going to be in China, but not in Japan. Like, what do you think about that hot take?
Not overall winner, but
Stages, yeah.
so like Kobe, someone may win, but then that woman won't win China and then going forward. Yeah.
That's a big hot take. I mean, hopefully not for whoever wins the first race. But it can definitely happen. I mean, considering how deep the level of the competition is and how talented these people are, I think it can definitely happen. My guess is like the first race will show, like will reward whoever is the fittest coming out of the winter season. For example, we've seen Sophia Lockley performing really, really well on the cross country skiing world circuit. It could translate to a really good running fitness. It may not, we don't know, but there's a lot of like races are always unpredictable, but it's even more true at the first race of the year. So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. So that first course is Kobe. Honestly, it's hard to find the China course, but from what we all know, it's a little bit not as technical, but it's at very high altitude. But Kobe itself is kind of like the flower style that they're imitating from the final that worked really well. Personally, that's really exciting as like a viewer. And so basically the runners are starting at a high point. And I've never seen a course like this, but they're basically bombing down each loop and then coming up. And you're bombing down, going up. And from what I've heard, it's a very technical course. So you're bombing down technical uphills, coming back up. Sounds brutal, to be honest. I know that that would be a tough course for me coming out of winter because I can't run downhill like that, like super steep downhills, especially where your mind is having to, you know, figure out the terrain at the same time. And we've got some heavy hitters on this course, like MK mentioned, Madalena, Sophia, Grayson, Maude, Miao. Miao's only China. And then we have Roberto, El Husein, Bart, and Rui. In your opinion, what type of athletes are going to succeed on Kobe, maybe versus the China race?
So like the China race will definitely reward whoever can adapt the quickest to the altitude or whoever performs best in altitude, which as we mentioned, it's very different from athlete to athlete. And I think the Kobe trail, which is more technical, will definitely re reward runners who like generally perform better on technical terrain. And also I think whoever like is already like very well conditioned for the uphills and downhills on such technical terrain, as you mentioned, like in the early stage of the season for me and as I can imagine for many, many athletes, the ability to handle a lot of elevation is not as developed as maybe in late summer. So I think we'll see a fair amount of people blowing up or like maybe experiencing like problems or cramps or like maybe starting very fast or like in a really good position, but then not holding up until the end, just because it's an early race and it's challenging, it's technical, it's unpredictable. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting because, like, you know, Sophia and Grayson, like, Sophia's been doing skiing, so she's probably not running bombing down hills right now. Grayson lives in the mountains, so she's probably trying her best, but like, it's definitely snowy in Utah. But then you have like Madalena and Maud, who Maud just raced Chianti, which I imagined had a decent amount of descent, so at least she's practicing. And I know that like Madalena was at in Madeira at some point, which doesn't have snow, and you can like practice that kind of stuff. So I didn't realize that it was downhill out first. That
That's
definitely makes
crazy.
it way more
Yeah,
interesting.
I would hate that.
Me
I would
too.
hate that too. Like all just fighting, and it looks like it potentially has like single tracks. You're just fighting down technical single track.
I'd be in last place coming off of that first downhill.
But again, like Francesco said, like not everyone has that repeatability in those downhill stabilizers, musculature,
Yeah.
etc., potentially this early in the season. But Roberto just came off a strong sky running win. So that's someone who has been able to run technical downhill. Rui lives
Is from
that he doesn't
Japan.
have to travel across the world this time, and he's insane at technical downhills. So I still think there's going to be a lot of excitement. And, you know, last kind of caveat too is these races are short-ish, you know? So
Yes.
even if someone doesn't have the endurance stamina, they only need to last like potentially 2 hours
I think two
out
hours.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just eat a ton of food and
Yeah, you can potentially get away with not having the endurance right now,
Yeah.
which should be interesting.
Let's talk Kobe. Kobe Trail is happening on April 20th. And like Danny said, it's the first race in the series, and it is looking to be super stacked already. Like, I was a little bit surprised when Golden Trail basically moved the season up by adding these two races in Asia, but the athletes are not surprised and they are coming.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think it gives athletes a little bit more opportunity to maybe stretch their season in a different way or make it more not all at once, because the season has historically always started in May and you kind of feel like you're semi going nonstop all the way to October. And so, at least what we've noticed with the entries for all the races is it does seem like multiple athletes are picking, you know, two races to focus on, taking a break, and then coming back later in the season, or vice versa. Like they're looking at all the races kind of in the center of the calendar. So, yeah, I think
Yeah.
it adds a little bit more. How do you say that? Like,
Pizzazz.
yeah, opportunities
Yeah.
to race. Yeah.
Especially
But
because like three of the opportunities are like back to back, like this one in Kobe and China. And then you have Cerrezanal in Portugal, which I don't know are back to back weekends, but they're pretty close. And then the two American races are back to back weekends. So you can make one trip, two races, instead of having to like travel multiple times, which is easier for most people in general, but also easier if you're an unsponsored athlete.
yeah, definitely. And it's Poland, not Portugal.
Oh, did I say Portugal?
Yeah.
Poland. But
Poland.
two
Two
very different
peas.
countries.
Similar starts, but so different. So yeah, this first race, like MK Saint said, it's really delivering. And we did some big detective work for y'all. So we hope you appreciate this, because we were so curious about this race because there's like no intel on it ever. I think it's a new race potentially, like there's no past results, etc. The first thing that we noticed looking at, do you want to talk about the course first? Probably the course first, and
Yeah,
then we'll
let's talk
dive
about the course.
the entries. Is there are two starts. There's a women's start and there's a men's start. The women start at 1305, so 105 for us Americans. And then the men start at 13:35, so 1:35, so 30-minute difference. I do think the front men are going to catch the women, even though the women are crazy strong, because this race, y'all, has, we think, about 7,000 feet of gain. We plugged the GPX into all trails, and so on all trails it said 21.3K with 2,000 meters, basically, so 13.2 miles and 6,700 feet.
Yeah. And then we found some segments on Strava They've already made segments for the separate loops, but also the entire course. And a couple of Japanese athletes who are racing have run the full course. And it's saying 14.77 miles with 7,629 feet of vert. So that's 1,000 more feet and
In one
only a
mile.
mile and a half. Yeah.
That's wild.
Oh.
And then finally, or those the only two that we had. All trails on
Yeah.
Strava.
Yeah.
And then the GPX. Oh yeah, sorry. Oh, the website. The website says 13.2 miles.
Yeah.
So it's a wild difference in here. Oh, yeah. The
I'm
GPX.
gonna.
Oh, sorry. The GPX said 12.7 miles, 5,700 feet of gain. And the website said 13.2 miles with 6,700 feet of gain.
And then Strava is just popping off and saying like over 14 miles with well over 7,000 feet of gain.
Yeah, which I'm a big GPX person. Like when they share the GPX, that's what
Oh,
I base so much of my training based off of.
same.
And if I rolled up thinking there was 5,700 feet and then you almost run 2,000 feet more.
And we did check multiple Stravas. This isn't just from
Yeah.
one Strava profile. Like, pretty much all of them are over 14 miles and over 7,000 feet. And like Danny was saying, so there's the staggered start, which we just saw this weekend at Kalamura Sky Race, or I guess this will be 2 weekends ago. And the men started 30 minutes after. The women finished the race in like 3 hours. Roberto finished it in 2:25. He ended up passing them with a little bit of time to go. The fastest time that we have seen, and granted, these are people doing like easy
Training
runs off
runs,
this
yeah.
course, is 3.5 hours. So the men are definitely going to pass the women if it's like the men are running 3 hours plus.
Yeah.
But that could get wild.
Yeah. And it gets wilder, folks. Like, wild in the sense that this is a very, it's a hard course,
Yes.
right? The course is made up of four loops, and the loops, like, the hardest loops are pretty much the third and fourth loop. So as the race goes on, the loops get harder and harder. And there's this key transition between the third and the fourth loop. Oh no, the second and the third loop, where the athletes will actually be able to see each other as they're heading into the hardest part of the course. So that's very exciting as a spectator. But also if you're like an athlete running, that can be pretty mental. Seeing your competitors either like right there, right behind you.
Yeah, so these loops. Loop one is 3.7K and 295 meters, which is 967 feet. Loop two is 6.1K with 516 meters or 17,000 feet of gain. Loop three is a 10K or a 6.2K with 671 meters, which is 2,200 feet of gain. And loop four is 5.3K with 2,000 feet of gain. So, like Danny said, it gets harder every lap because you go 960 feet, 7 feet of gain, 1,700 feet of gain, 2,200 feet of gain, 2,000 feet of gain.
Yeah.
And you're
And that
descending the same amount that you are gaining because each loop you go down and then back up.
to the same start point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the wildest part of this course, I mean, it's all pretty wild. We saw some YouTube videos as well. And for the athletes that are running it, be prepared. This course is very technical. But miles like 10 through 13 look particularly tough because you lose 1,000 feet. And then you gain 1,000 feet roughly within a mile and a half. Then you lose another 1,000 feet in a mile. Sorry, these are per miles. And mile 13, when you're on the last part of this race, you gain another 1,000 feet before finishing. Like the last mile, you gain 272 feet. But I can only imagine, like, you're just surviving at that point.
Yeah.
Like, if you can run after 4 miles of basically losing and gaining 2,000 feet, it's just whole next level.
Yeah. And looking at the Strava profile that we kind of used for just like the trail by Kakeru Oka. And I'm sure he was doing an easy run, but like regardless, the paces that he's running on these uphills as a man are slow enough to tell me that they're not super runnable. Like
Yeah.
18:21 pace, 23:12 pace, 18:14. Like usually if you can run up a hill, especially for a guy, like you're maybe doing like 10 to 13 minute pace. But once you start getting into that like 18 to 25 minute miles, it's looking less runnable to me.
It's looking a little rough, especially because he started his run like at pretty normal like paces for a guy just like out on a run. Like his gap started at 6:27, 6:23, and then it just gets slower and slower as he
And
goes
that's
on.
probably what's going to happen in this race. Like, I don't see anybody like negative splitting the first half and the second half of this race. There's way too much like descending and gaining. It's just, it'll be fun. I'm so excited for all of you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun to definitely spectate. I feel like loop one is just going to be a bloodbath because
Ripping.
you basically have a 3K or almost 4K. So what is that? Like 2.5 miles or so to get out before you head into like this madness of down, up, down, up, down, up. And this race is so different because most of the time when you have these type of races, you start on a climb. And then you're descending and you go up, down, up, down. Whereas this race, you finish on a smashing uphill. So it's kind of something like if you haven't done it before, I just have a lot of question marks now for athletes that I would normally like put all my money on,
I
which is gonna
mean,
be super interesting.
in the first descent alone, which is what you start on, it's 1.1 miles and you lose 800 feet. Like, that's no joke.
It looks so small compared to the other.
I mean, at points, it's a 22% grade that you're running down, 32%, like
Oh my God.
36%. This is crazy. And that's the
Dude,
beginning.
you have to have quads. Like, you have to have quads for this race. Like, you could be one of the best climbers in the world, but if your stabilizers and quads aren't ready coming out of potentially winter for some of these folks, you're gonna feel it hard. And we didn't even say one of the best final aspects of this whole thing. It's like a bow on top. Okay, so as we mentioned, the start times, if you noticed, are in the afternoon, 1 p.m.
Heat of the
What
day.
tends to happen? It gets hot. And the humidity of this race, it looks roughly like based on the weather, like the past few weeks and looking forward, can roughly be between like 70 and 90%.
And
And
the high is
70
70 degrees. So like,
Fahrenheit,
yeah, Fahrenheit. That's warm, especially with the humidity, and especially for most athletes, except for those that are living in Japan currently. Like, we're in winter over here in North America. So, I mean, and even in Europe, 70 degrees is pretty hot.
Yeah, I feel like I'm frothing. We're both frothing about this race because this is just an insane race already, just looking at it like this.
Yeah, we should
Damn.
include this Strava file in our show notes so that people can, because I'm just like running over the grades like with my mouse right now, and like the downhills are so steep.
Like, when do you see 40% in a race
Yeah, there's a lot of
consistently?
it in this one.
There's so much 40%. Oh, dang.
I've seen
Oh.
47 a couple of times.
Yeah, like most of the time, if you see above 30%, it's on one part, but it's literally mo these two last downhills both have between 30 and 40%, like for quite a bit. Wow.
I can't wait
All
for his live
right.
stream.
So we set you up. That's the course, that's the race. We should get into the main contenders because this race is
There's a
kind of
lot of
insane.
them.
We will caveat, or it's more just like a fact and something we should point out, is this is the first of two races. There's Japan and China, and the fields are looking super international, but it has come to our attention that visas for the China race are particularly difficult for some countries, just like it is for North America for some athletes that have been left out of the North American races. It is the reality of the world today. And so there's a good chance that while some of these athletes are on this race, they won't be racing in China. And so if I know I'm only running one race versus two, I'm just going to go all out a bit more versus like potentially what do you call that? Like balancing the energy between the two? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, because it is hard to do a double, like a back-to-back weekend. Like,
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
want to go, like, give your all, but in some senses, you also kind of have to be prepared to do it again. So you don't want to go over the edge, I think, maybe.
Exactly. And so, like, one of the countries that needs a visa for China is North or America. So with heavy hitters like Sophia Lockley, Grayson Murphy, etc., this might be their only race, even though they're signed up for China as well. So maybe if you're a French or Spanish athlete, like you get the points you need at Japan and then can serve for potentially a higher place in China. Just, yeah.
Yeah, because we did look it up and it's fairly easy to get a visa if you are in like most of Europe
Yeah,
to China.
French, France, Spain,
Germany.
Germany, Italy, Netherlands, and Malaysia all like can pretty easily get a Chinese visa. Cool. All right. Now that we've pointed that out,
Should
y'all.
we get into it?
Yeah, this women's race. Finally, finally, anyone who is a trail fan, finally, we are getting the three heavy hitter American women lineup. Tell the folks I'm kidding.
Sophia Lockley, overall winner last year, one series and all, like one Pikes Peak, won it all.
What at
Grayson
all?
Murphy was kind of hurt last year, but still world champion in the classic, second place in the vertical to none other than Andrea Marr. Allie Mack, world champion in 2023, also a heavy hitter in the Golden Trail World Series that year. What?
What? And Grayson was returning champ. Like she owns the World Mountain Classic right now, like back-to-back champ.
Which is up, down kind of stuff.
Yeah. And like these ladies, we could say so much more about their resume. Those are just like a couple of the highlights.
Highlights.
Wow. Okay. So that's just the Americans. So if you're an American trail running fan or world fan, that alone is a race. But you add in Sarah Alonso recently. Course record at Calamaro. Julia battled it out with Sarah Alonso, Julia Font, both Spanish runners coming in hot after what we think is the perfect race setup for this race. Couldn't have picked a more perfect race. You have Malin Osa, who was fourth overall last year in her rookie season. You have Joyce Nigiru. Hopefully she could get over there as well. Maude Mathis. The
The
list goes
return of
on and on.
Maud.
The return of Maude. The last time we saw her might have been second at Zagama a couple of years ago behind Nienke, where she also went out of the course record. I can't remember
She
if
ran
she.
Sears and all that year too, and
Oh,
oh.
yeah.
Did she? Yeah, she was second to the woman who ended up getting caught for doping.
Oh,
So she
crazy.
ended up
Okay. Yep.
winning.
She ended up winning. Still Sylvia Nordic star. The Scandinavian, she was sixth overall last year. Therese LaBeouf, recently top three at Chianti. Alice Gaggi, top 10. Or I think it's Gaggi at Sierra Zanella, the Italian runner. And then Daniela Oimas, won Zagama. Oh, that was a mouthful.
If all of those people show up, because we'll also preface the fact that we don't have a final top 10, but these are the people that we know and have seen, we're planning
Yeah.
on it earlier. But if all of these women show up, like it's gonna be hard to pick a top five, seven, eight. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
it's
It's
a
tough.
people are definitely, I think the Asia races offer athletes an opportunity to get Golden Trail World Series points early and then not have to worry about them as much later in the year. So then they can run other series. So like it makes sense that people are here.
Yeah, and this doesn't even include like undiscovered Japanese athletes who could very well just like come and smash it and win the whole thing, and it wouldn't be surprising, sort of
Not at
thing.
all.
Let's kind of pick apart. So it's hard to pick a top five. So we're gonna try and narrow down on top like five women who we think are in especially good place right now, maybe six. Sophia, all right, smashed last year. She has proven she could run anything, like even Dolomites, like she got beat by Judith, but not by much, and Judith is one of the best downhillers in the world, if not the best downhiller.
And she did really well at Norway the year before. Did she win Norway?
She won
She
Norway.
won
Yeah.
Norway, which was an insanely technical course.
Yes, she, from what I remember, blasted the climb and then survived. but like that just shows her climbing prowess.
Yeah.
She's coming off a ski season, but she was just in Corsica with the Salomon running camp. And just based off the snippets, it looks like she was chasing down the guys in the VK. So I'd have to imagine she is in fine climbing shape. The only asterisk is these technical downhills, but like having had a very terrible stint in cross country skiing, learning how to do it, it does work your quads. And she podiumed and won her first World Cup race this past year. So I have to imagine she's strong enough. It's more of just like the neurological patterns and her willingness to throw herself down the mountains.
Yeah. And like maybe she's been throwing herself down the mountains in Oslo the last couple. I mean, they're not really mountains in Oslo, but like the hills of Oslo. Because yeah, I think that'll be Sophia's biggest downfall in this whole race is just like, does she have the quads to survive the second half?
Yeah. But like,
because we know she can climb.
She is strong though. Like she like is for sure been doing the weight room with skiing season and stuff like that. It's more of just like the racing pounding is slightly like it's you will never be able to replicate it just right if you haven't been running steep downhills. But damn, if her, Grayson, and Allie are at the bottom of that last hill together before the final, who do you even bet on?
I don't
You
know because
can't.
They're all just like world-class climbers.
Yeah. That's
like
wild
Sophia hasn't been to a world championship, but she won Sears and All, which is a double VK into a half marathon. And she was like in second, I think, at the top of the climb. So it's like, yeah, it'll be so interesting because Grayson and Allie have been running all winter, but they're also in winter. So you can only get so high. You can do a lot of like uphill work on treadmills or like on the dry trails that you can find. But like Danny said, it's really hard to replicate that downhill in the winter, but also like to find something that's steep pretty much anywhere in the US other than like the top of the Wasatch or like the San Juans. It's like really, I don't even know where you would do that.
Maybe the Grand Canyon, like if you went up and down, if you're in Arizona.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if it's that steep because it's kind of
it's not
like
that steep and it's just stairs. So like you'll get the pounding, but you won't get the practice of
40%
pounding with technical, like, and 40%. Like, holy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then, you move on to Grayson. This is her debut in the series. Allie and Sophia have both been to many of these races. But Grayson's no stranger to like big events. She's been to the biggest track events in the world, biggest, world championships and stuff like that. So I think like the circus that we love to call it, I don't think that'll faze her much. It's just kind of like that constant, like up, down, pounding technical terrain. Because none of these athletes have raced in Japan. Really.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe it's a negative, but it's a negative for everyone. And Grayson's healthy. That's like the biggest
that's
thing.
Dangerous.
That's extremely dangerous. Like a healthy Grayson, and it looks like on Strava, she's been running more miles than she has in the past, which is extremely dangerous for Grayson on the start line for her,
for sure.
For her competitors. Yeah.
Yeah. But then like on the other side, you have the two Spanish women, Sarah and Julia, who I think originally like you and I were like, oh yeah, they'll for sure be fighting for like a podium spot. Like definitely. But even they said to us like, oh no, like we won't do it. But they ran Calamoro, which having looked at this course now is almost identical in terms of like the terrain's probably different, but it was three big steep climbs and big descents. And it was run at 5 p.m., which was hot. And Sarah talked about her stomach like being all messed up, but now she knows how to practice for it, how to train for it. Like they literally just did the same thing 2 weeks prior and they crushed it. So I'm not counting them out, either of them out, for like a top spot, a win. Definitely not the podium.
Yeah. Oh, definitely not. I mean, they basically did, I don't know, unintentionally or intentionally, the most perfect race before this race that you could have done that was on the calendar anywhere in the world, pretty much.
I mean, the biggest thing will just be like recovering.
Recovering from that, which they still have plenty of time. They need to get over there. And they know they can push. And then kind of the last person I wanted to highlight was Malinowska, just because last year was her rookie year. And so I just think she's gonna get better and better. And she, even last year in her first year, was crushing downhills. She's just a very athletic runner, can do all the movements and stuff like that.
And she's a lot like Sarah, where she will just throw herself down anything, like
Exactly.
no fear.
And that's the thing too, is like we talk about going into the last climb, but if you have someone like Sarah going into that last downhill, that woman is fearless. She will throw her body down that.
And she will beat you to the bottom.
Yes,
Like she
but
talks that she's not a good technical downhill runner, but she is
she's
because
very
she's
good.
yeah.
But you have Sophia Grayson and Allie, who potentially, we don't know what it is officially, but they are North American. If they can't get into China, they all want and kind of need this win to be competitive in the series, or just like a high placing. So they might be willing to also push it a little bit more. Dang. Do you want to call your podium?
Oof, I
I don't
don't
even know if it's
know.
possible.
I think it's too early. Maybe we'll save podiums for China because then we'll have an idea of where people are at.
Totally. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if any of these women won,
Yeah.
sort of thing.
That's
And
my top six for sure, right there.
yeah,
Sophia
some
Grayson,
combo of that.
Sarah, Julia, and Malin.
Yeah, that's so
But who
wild.
knows? Because again, there could be a Japanese woman that comes in and just like blows our mind.
Exactly. Yep. I'm still sticking with my hot take that no race is going to have a repeat winner, though.
Yeah.
Just knowing what's after Kobe and now knowing the, reality that some of the North American women may not be able to race China, I don't think there's going to be a repeat winner. And also recovering after this race to race
Ouch.
the following weekend,
Do
imagine.
you just like walk around?
I would just lay and like watch shows and eat for
Yeah.
like 2 or 3 days. And then
You
you have to
can't do much
travel.
running. Yeah.
And you have to travel.
Maybe like a sit on the stationary bike, like so slow that your heart rate doesn't even get up, but you're just like moving your legs. Ouch.
Oh, the last thing I want to touch upon, winning time. So Sarah and Julia just ran 3 hours for their race was slightly longer and less burnt. Okay. So the winning time is probably going to be over 3 hours for
Yeah,
women.
probably just over for women.
We'll say like 315,
Yeah.
maybe 320. Because the heat,
The
that is a
heat.
whole nother level. Humidity, because they ran in heat, but they didn't run in humidity, which is
It was
even
humid,
next
but not quite
level.
as humid. Yeah.
Not as humid. Okay.
But like those, just the steepness of the downhills alone will make them like not as fast, I think. So. Yeah,
All
we'll just
right.
have to wait and see. Should we jump into the men? Speaking of Kalamura Sky Race and it being the perfect tune-up for Kobe, Roberto De Lorenzi is signed up for Kobe. He was sixth overall last year and he just won Kalamura. And he also just ran sub 29 in a 10K, like right before that, which is disgusting. So, like, again, somebody that I'm like putting on my podium for sure now after that Kalamura race.
And then no other than I think this is such a great battle right here, El Hussein.
Yeah.
He won the final races last year. He won Dolomites, which is the most technical race, and he kind of was a little bit of surprise for me at that race. Like I didn't have him winning. And then he how do you even one up that 29? He ran under 28 in the same 10K.
And
And it's like
Francesco
a
was telling us that
rolling.
it was rolling. Yeah.
I just think those two are gonna have a great battle. Like
Yeah.
it's hard not to think they'll be up there.
Yeah. Because I guess we got to read them all and then we'll come back. Yeah. Alex Garcia Carrillo, he was 10th overall last year. Sam Hendry is on the list, but we're not sure if he's racing. But if he is, he's very good at technical downhills. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he did well at this event. Patrick Kipnieno and Philemon Ambogo from Kenya, second at Sierras and All for Patrick and second overall last year. First at Sierras and All for Philemon, but third overall in the series last year. Anders, who I don't know personally, but I have heard you talk about many times, saying that he's like hands down one of the best downhillers in the world.
Yep.
So if he's there, that really makes things spicy. Petra Mamu, who,
He was caught
known past
previously.
doper, known previous doper. So like we'll just skim over that. Daniel Pattis was 9th overall last year. Bart is coming back, which is not surprising, 7th overall last year. An exciting addition back into the Golden Trail World Series is Rui Ueda, who is Japanese. He got in a really, really scary bike accident last year after the World Championships and was basically out for the rest of the year. But my guess is that oh no, we saw he has run part of at least part of the course, if not all of it.
Yeah.
And he's super good at technical downhills. So like I'm excited to see his come back to the Golden Trail.
Yep. And then the last two we have Andy Wacker, again, not sure if he is racing. And then we have Ryuta Iwa, who was recently second at the Oshii Shinshiro 64K, which is a race in Japan.
Yep.
But yeah, this men's race. It's the see it sorry.
It's less of a toss up for me.
Yeah, it is for me as well. I would say Roberto and El Hussein
And probably
have
Rui.
are and Rui are just like podium picks.
Yeah.
Patrick and Philemon, I think, are still gonna do well. I just haven't seen them on this sort of technical terrain. Whereas Roberto, El Hussein, and Rui are like tried and true. Like they crush this.
Yeah.
And like Rui having home town advantage, or home country advantage. I mean, he doesn't have to travel also, so I wouldn't be surprised if he just wins the whole thing too, now
Yeah.
being back. Yeah. Wild.
Yeah, that's I think
But
that's pretty much my like those three. I don't know who it's gonna be, but
yeah.
I think those three are probably my top three.
Yeah. The only thing though is El Hussein, he was supposed to run Chianti after that 10K, and he didn't. So hopefully he's healthy
Yeah, hopefully
coming
he
into
just
this
skipped
end.
out because he was like, I gotta be
That's too
good
much.
for
Yeah.
Japan.
Exactly.
Yeah, because
Holy
I
moly.
mean, El Hussein showed up to the final last year after having only done Dolomites and absolutely wrecked people in the final. Like, he didn't just like kind of win, like, he like super won.
He's super fun.
just like Madalena on the women's side. Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Oh, dang.
So, I'm excited.
Me too. Anything else on Kobe?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
We're gonna come out with another episode for the race in China, the Four Sisters race. We thought about doing it all at one time, but we'd really like to see like the results of this race before we talk about the next one. So we'll save that for next week. And now for a message from our sponsor before I dive into Canyon's preview. This episode is brought to you by our friends at NeverSecond. NeverSecond uses a modular system that allows you to create the exact carbohydrate formula for your need and activity. Their products are meant to be mixed and matched so that you can have 30, 60, 90, or even 120 grams of carbs per hour. As a professional athlete, I was introduced to NeverSecond about a year ago after a rough race at the Mont Blanc Marathon. I was trying to take in gels that required a lot of water, but without a crew and the fact that there weren't enough aid stations to adequately match my intake, it became quite the struggle of a day. After that experience, I started using NeverSecond in training because their liquid gels weren't as sticky and require less water and are much easier to get down, making my race day and training nutrition immediately more successful and simple. And if you want to try NeverSecond, just head to neversecond.com, NEVER2.com, and use code SUBHUB25 for a 25% discount on all of your orders. So, Canyon's 50K is the next American UTMB race that we have coming up. It will be happening in Auburn, California, on many of the trails that Western States occurs on. It is also a major, which means that instead of the normal top three qualifying out of each race for the UTMB events the following year, it will be top 10. So for the race that I'm going to be covering, which is just the 50K today, The people who finish in the top 10 will have automatic entry into the 2025 version of OCC. They can also apply to race CCC instead of OCC, which is the 100K distance. But that isn't guaranteed to be approved. So, but they do have a spot at OCC for 2025. And this race is looking to be pretty spicy. So I just want to preface by saying that the running, as of the time that I'm recording this, the runners list has not been uploaded onto the Canyon's website. So what I'm going off of is the elite runners page. And as we all know, like that very well could be missing someone because specifically for UTMB, the elite requirements to get, you know, onto that list is basically for women, 650 points, men, 800. But in that case, you would have to pay to run the race. To not pay to run the race and to get elite status, women need a 710 and men an 850. So again, we could be missing somebody. Like for example, Molly Seidel is supposed to be running this race, but like she doesn't have a 50K index. So she is not included on this elite list. So let's start with the course. I actually ran this 50K last year and I thought that it was going to be the same exact course, but because the 100K is now coming down from China Wall instead of doing loops, the 50K has actually changed direction from last year so that there's no opposite direction running for the 100K and 50K athletes. They will be running in the same direction on the trail. So the 50K starts and finishes in downtown Auburn. You start off on the road pretty hot and you immediately like descend down to the river. You cross, I think you cross No Hands Bridge at this point, but you descend down to the river and then you immediately begin your first climb. And the first climb you gain around 1500 feet in like 3-ish miles. The next 24K, you are kind of rolling up on this beautiful ridge. It can be very hot, can be very exposed, but the views are like unbeatable. And so you're rolling along for quite some time before a pretty dramatic drop back down to the river, down to Mammoth Bar, which is at 37K, straight back into a super steep but short uphill, like probably less than a mile, but you gain like 800 to 900 feet in that mile. And then you have another gradual descent back to the river, cross over No Hands Bridge, and you finish the last 3 to 4 miles on the slight uphill back to Auburn. But as anyone who has run Formidable or Canyons knows, that slight uphill does get steeper the further and further you get up it, especially once you get to Roby Point and you have to finish the climb up the road. That is like Mount Everest at that point. And then it's a pretty substantial downhill into town and to the finish. So I think last year, Heather Jackson ran this in 407. I do think that it will be run a little bit faster this year on the women's side, at least. I think the women will be somewhere around 4 hours. And I think that Hayden Hawks ran around 320 last year, which is part of why I think that the women's race could go faster. That's quite a substantial gap between the two times. So a big thing to note, though, difference this year versus last year. Last year, the 50K had the option to have crew bring them things at the halfway point, so at 25K. But this year, there will be no crew. So if it's a hot day, that might be a little bit rough. Definitely doable. You know, 4 hours is just short enough. I'd hate even calling it short because that's not short, but just short enough that you can definitely carry all the calories that you need, but it just does get a little like clunky. So it's always nice to have crew, but they will not have crew allowed this year. The race starts at 6 a.m., which is nice because the 50K will probably finish before it starts to get too hot if it's a hot day. There's supposed to be a live stream, but last year they had a lot of internet issues, so I would not be surprised if the live stream doesn't work out for some reason, but maybe they worked out the kinks from last year. If there is a live stream, it will be on the UTMB Live website, so it'll be fairly easy to find. So let's talk about our women's field. We have our very own Danny Moreno, who is leading off the women's elite field here. Danny ran a 110 half marathon in February in Ventura. She was third at the Mont Blanc Marathon and OCC in 2022, second at Mammoth Trail Fest last year in 2023, and first at the Kodiak 53K, which is how she qualified for this year's OCC. Right behind her is Jen Lichter. Jen recently won the Transvolcania Marathon quite handily. She was fourth at the short trail in Austria, back for the World Championships, and she also won JFK 50 miler last year. Juliette Soule, she recently won the Noosa Ultra Trail 50K and was seventh at the UT Australia 50K. So making a trek over to the US to try to get a spot for OCC, pretty cool. Tabor Hemming ran 113 and a half in February in Phoenix. She won the Big Alta 21K and was second at Desert Rats half marathon just this last weekend. So I'm sure that was a nice little tune-up for her prior to the 50K. Sam Lewis is a multiple-time Team USA member and was recently second at the Gorge 30K. Like I said, Molly Seidel is also slated to run this race. This would be her first 50K trail race, I believe. So we'll be interesting to see how that goes for her. On the men's side, it seems like it's like a states, Western States tune-up for half of them and an OCC qualifier for the other half of them. And so I think this is going to be a really exciting race. We've got Eli Hemming, who has proven himself to be one of the best, sub to mid ultra runners in the country in the last year or two. He recently won Black Canyon 60K in a course record time, won the Big Alta 50K by almost 20 minutes, and he won the Desert Rats half marathon for a nice tune up last weekend. Chad Hall, actually, the last time that he and Eli raced, he actually beat Eli at the Kodiak 50K back in 2023. Chad also qualified for the Olympic Trials marathon, but had to pull out due to an injury. I am not 100% sure if he's recovered from that injury, but my guess is that he is, because a lot of people who are injured have taken themselves off of these lists at this point. Seth Ruling. So this one is really kind of exciting and interesting. We've got Seth Ruling and Peter Ferragno from Poland. And Seth was sixth at CCC. Peter was seventh at CCC last year. So this is kind of like a duel, a rematch for them almost, if you might call it that. Seth was also the winner of JFK this last fall, and he was second at the Chuckanut 50K 2 years ago, I believe. Peter Fragno was also third at the Long Trail Worlds in Austria. So he's kind of moving down in distance for this race. Curious to see if he's just trying to qualify for CCC with a shorter race, or if maybe he's trying to qualify for OCC to just run something different next year. We have Jeff Colt. So this is kind of our, these last three guys are our list of people doing a tune-up for Western States. Jeff Colt was eighth at States last year, and he was also third at the 2023 Desert Rats. His UTMB profile famously says, "It's better to dance through life than race through it." Amen, Jeff. Danny Jones recently won Tarawera 100K, and he was the returning champ, having won it the year before as well in 2023. He is also returning to Western States this year, having finished fifth place last year. And then Cole Watson is coming down to the 50K. Last year, he won the 100K, securing his spot to Western States. And then he finished ninth at Western States, so he will also be returning to that. And I imagine that this 50K is like a good tune-up for him. So yeah, those are our elite fields. I am hesitant to call a podium, but the race, the show must go on. This race is going to be so exciting. The women's side for me is a little less difficult. I'm gonna go first place, Danny Moreno, second place, Jen Lichter, third place, Tabor Hemming. And on the men's side, it's a little bit harder for me. Eli and Chad are obviously like two of the best 50K athletes in the country, but Depending on where Peter and Seth are in their training, I could also see them like being pretty big contenders. Obviously, a huge part of this too is if Chad is coming back from his injury or not. But it does seem like he has been running a decent amount of mileage, looking like he's preparing for this race. So I'm gonna go. Oh God, actually, this is really a lot harder than I thought it would be. So I can't choose between Eli and Chad. I'm gonna go with a dark horse kind of here. I mean, not really a dark horse if you think about it, but I think that Chad Hall wins. Eli Hemming is very close second. I think it's going to be a race to the wire for the two of them. And I think Seth Rowling's gonna end up third. I think he and Peter will also be racing it out pretty hard, but I think that Seth is kind of having like a really big year ever since CCC last year. And I just see him continuing to roll. So yeah, tune into Canyons. Danny and I will both be there, as I just mentioned. She is running the 50K. I will be running my debut 100K. Goal is to get to the finish line this time around. But yeah, come if you see us out there, say hi, give us a cheer, and we'll see you on the other side.